The church functions as a corporate body on the local level. There are three areas of work that the church is authorized to perform. That is, one is to edify, the other to evangelize, the other to provide relief for its needy saints. We want to talk about edification today. The first work, to edify. To edify means to build up, promoting the spiritual growth and development of a character of believers. According to Vine, it goes on to say it means to strengthen, more firmly establish, to improve. Paul would write in Colossians 2, beginning in verse 6, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted up and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." We need to work on promoting spiritual growth, and that's clearly one of the missions of the local church. Paul again would write in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26, "How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification." There's only one tool that God has for edification. That's His Word. Paul instructs the Ephesian elders of that in Acts 20 and verse 30, and Peter instructs us of that in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. Now, when I say that God's tool, only tool for edification in His Word, that's not game nights. That's not gimmicks. That's not social activities that are sponsored by the church. That's not political agendas, and the list can go on. So I want to talk for a moment about the edification of Christians, about how vital that is. In Acts 14, beginning in verse 21, it says here that Paul, when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they came to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." What I understand from this is that edification, this building up, this strengthening, helps us to withstand temptation and sin. When we are strengthened in the faith, then we have stability of doctrine and security in Christ. Paul would speak of this in Ephesians 4. And spiritual maturity enhances our ability to tell good from evil. It helps us to keep from sin. In Hebrews 5, verses 13 and 14, the Hebrew writer says, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So we understand from this that we must grow in use of the armor of God to stand against Satan. And again, that's what Paul speaks of in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 17. Not only does edification help us to withstand temptation and sin, but it helps us to develop godly character. Without this character growth, we become idle, we become barren, we become unfruitful, and we are forgetful, and therefore we stumble. And as we strengthen this chain, so to speak, we have security in Christ. You see, it's very important to edify other Christians, that is, to strengthen and to encourage each other. Paul would write in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11, "Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing." In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 19, Paul again says, "Do you think that we excuse ourselves to you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, beloved, for your edification." You see, for the church to grow, as Paul would speak in Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16, he says, "Speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and fit and knit together by every joint, by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You see, what he's talking about here is every joint is every Christian, and therefore every Christian being the joints that make up what is being supplied here is important. And each part of the body, each Christian, working together is important for the body, that is, the church, to grow and to be strong. The church, or rather the strong ones, will be edifying to the weak. And here's a practical application. Paul speaks in Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2, and he says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." In order for there to be harmony in the church, we have to have this edification. Paul would write in Romans 14 and verse 19, "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another." Now, I know there's going to be some that say, well, that's what we do when we have these youth groups, these lock-ins, and these things of this nature. But spiritual growth promotes harmony. If you're having these youth group lock-ins and things of this nature, you're not promoting spiritual growth. You're promoting a physical, worldly growth. And that's the only reason that a lot of people are coming, is because you have games and you make it fun. The proper elimination of spiritual growth produces conflicts. Jesus speaks of this in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24. And it doesn't make us mature spiritually. Immaturity seeks others' good. But it's also for the salvation of Christians. Peter would write in 1 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2, saying, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." We have to put away evil and grow in righteousness. And when we put away this evil, that's putting away the worldliness, the things of the world that we sadly, we associate with spiritual growth. Parties and dinners and things of this nature, tour buses, those are not spiritual growth. So let's talk for a few minutes about edification being the individual's responsibility. This requires the individual determination and effort on his part or her part to achieve this goal. You see, the church is edified when the individual Christians grow or are strengthened. Again, Paul writes in Colossians 2, beginning in verse 5, "For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." And we've already noticed Ephesians 4 and verse 16, where Paul says that from the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You see, individual admonitions are what promote personal growth, edification. Paul again would write in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 that we are to present ourselves approved, a workman of God that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He would tell Timothy again in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13 that we must hold to sound words. And I don't know about you, but I don't know how sound words, how sound it is to hear words, let's have a party, let's have a weenie roast, let's have a hay ride in the fall. Those are not things that are spiritual in nature. And Peter would tell us in 2 Peter 1 and verse 8 that these things must belong to each one. And we have to strengthen ourselves to be able to help others grow. I cannot edify with speech that's impure. Ephesians 4 and verse 29. My speech has got to be spiritually based. It cannot be worldly. And if I'm not of a spiritual mind, if I'm of a worldly mind, then I cannot edify those around me. And only when we have love and good works can we effectively provoke them in others. That's what the Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Now, one last point. Edification as a work of the local church. When we talk about a congregation, ways that the local church can edify members, we can look at Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, where Luke records for us, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. People, I'm afraid too many of us don't have a proper fear, a reverent fear of the Lord, or we would stop doing the things that we do today. The local church edifies each other. It edifies you and I when we worship in the assemblies. When we come together to worship on the first day of the week. We pointed out the Hebrew writer, chapter 10, beginning in verse 24, he says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." You see, the whole purpose of us coming together to worship God is to praise God and give glory to Him. That's the most important thing. But along with that, one of the side effects is that we are edified. We are edified. That's part of what the Hebrew writer says here in verse 24. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. If you're not there, you can't edify one another. And you will not be edified by those that are there. This edification takes place when we sing together, Colossians 3 and verse 16. This edification takes place when we come together to eat the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 27 through 32. And you see, it's more than just being spectators. We must participate. And edification is not achieved through these recreational activities, through crafts, through childcare, daycare, whatever you want to call it. It's achieved through Bible teaching, Acts 20, what Paul told the Ephesian elders. It's achieved through preaching, Acts 20 and verse 7, through Bible classes. Teaching children and adults is a vital part of any work of the church, and we must see its worth and contribute our part. Teaching edifies, but it only does so if we actually use it. And then we need to be encouraging brethren to do good and promote love, a mutual concern that we have for one another. You see, Christ will bless and strengthen any church that takes seriously its work of edification. Again, remember what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26, "Let all things be done for edification." You may not agree with this lesson, and that's completely understandable. If you would like to speak with me about this lesson, you can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. You can go to the church's website, that's churchateastside.com, and listen to this lesson again under sermons. I want to thank you for being with me today.